There is a statement in the New Testament by Jesus himself that is so plain, and yet no one can agree on what he said. It is very controversial. It's so controversial that you rarely hear it referred to by any denominational preacher, whether it be in their churches or on their TV shows or on their radio programs, that when they do, they find it necessary to give an explanation that goes against what Jesus clearly stated. I have a reference here to what Jesus said that we find written in Mark 16, verse 16. Here Jesus states, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." Now, to show what I said earlier, let's look at four different views about this verse that are taught by men. And then we'll contrast those views with the one openly, plainly stated by Jesus and supported by his apostles in their teaching and preaching. The first view is one held by those who profess to be Christians. But for the purpose of our lesson, it should be considered, in essence, what they say. What they say is that he who believes and is baptized will not be saved. There are two separate groups that hold this view. There are the atheists, who do not believe in God. They don't believe in heaven or hell or salvation of any kind. And then you have the Jews, Muslims, Hindus, etc., who believe in God or gods, but who do not believe that salvation is to be found in Jesus, and that to believe and or be baptized then is contrary to the will of God. But those who accept Jesus and his authority of his apostles reject such a view. There is a God who offers salvation, and that offering is contrary to the views of atheists, as Paul would write in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. The Bible teaches clearly that salvation does come only through Jesus. And of course, that's contrary to what the Jews, the Muslims, the Hindus, etc. teach. For your own perusing, read 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6, and John 14, verse 6. Now, I doubt any actual person present holds to this view. And there are some who do. And it only begins to show us how some are willing to deny the plain statement of Jesus. Let's consider another view. They say, "He who does not believe and is not baptized will be saved." This view is held by what we'll call universalists. They believe that God will save everyone eventually. To support their view, they look to passages like 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6. Now, for the sake of time, we're not going to read these passages, so I hope you'll take the time to write them down and go back and look them up. But those who know the teachings of Christ and Paul likewise reject this type of view. Jesus himself told that there are few who will be saved. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, and here he gives in the Sermon on the Mount that there's two ways to follow, the broad gate and the narrow gate. Paul warned about those who would not be saved, but would face the wrath of God in Ephesians 5, verses 5 and 6. Now, most Bible-believing, professing Christians would never treat Mark 16, 16 the way that the first two views do. But as we consider two more views, we're going to start hitting closer to home to some of these that are more locally well-known. And we need to understand that as we do so, desiring to speak the truth in love and pray that your love for the truth is such that you are willing to consider what follows. The third view is this: he who does not believe and is baptized will be saved. This view is held by most who practice what's called infant baptism. By baptizing, actually sprinkling and not immersing, infants who are incapable of having faith. Now they, that is especially the Catholics, indicate that faith is not necessary or not essential to salvation. And then there are some who are Lutheran who try to get around this by saying that God imparts saving faith to the infant so baptism can still save. And that by sprinkling or pouring instead of immersion, they also indicate Jesus didn't mean what he said, the reason baptized in the quotes above. But speaking the truth in love, we have to point out, faith is a necessary prerequisite. It's necessary for baptism, Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 37, the example of the Ethiopian eunuch there. It's necessary for salvation, as Paul would write in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Speaking the truth in love, we have to point out that sprinkling or pouring is not Bible baptism. First of all, there's no example of anyone being sprinkled or poured in the New Testament. The Greek word used in the Bible is baptizo, and it means to immerse. So when one is sprinkled or poured, you are not being immersed. And this is why baptism is described in the Bible in passages like Romans 6 verses 3 and 4 and Colossians 2 and verse 12 as a burial. Now, sprinkling or pouring was substituted in the place of baptism, immersion, hundreds of years after Christ and his apostles had left this world. By keeping the tradition of men by sprinkling or pouring, then we fail to keep the command of God concerning baptism. Jesus himself condemned the displacing of God's commands by the traditions of men in Matthew 15 verses 3 through 9. The baptizing of infants is without any scriptural precedent. There's no places in the New Testament where we read of any infants being baptized. First of all, there's no commands or examples of infant baptism. Now, since the prerequisites of faith, Mark 16, 16 and Acts 8 and verse 37, and repentance, Acts 2 and verse 38 and Acts 17 and verse 30, are beyond the infant's capability, then they are not suitable candidates for baptism. Now, I'm confident that those who hold to the view of sprinkling infants are honest and sincere. But despite their honest sincerity, they are just as guilty of twisting the words of Jesus as are the atheists, the unbelieving Jews, Muslims, Hindus, and the list goes on, and the universalist. But there's another view that is sincerely held by a lot of people. And that view is stated this way: he who believes and is not baptized will be saved. This view is held by those who believe in salvation by faith only. That one is saved before baptism. That baptism is not necessary, is not essential to obtain salvation. And this view is held for all practical purposes by most members of various denominations, especially in this area. But Jesus and his apostles clearly taught something different. That faith alone cannot save. Jesus declared this in Matthew 7 and verse 21, and again in Luke 6 and verse 46. This was taught by the apostles in passages like Romans 6 verses 17 and 18, Hebrews 5 verse 9, James 2, verse 14, verse 17, verse 20, verse 24, verse 26, and 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5. What we see in these passages is that baptism is essential to salvation. Now, that's not according to Jeff. That's according to Jesus, John 3, verse 5, Mark 16, verse 16, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And it's according to his apostles. Excuse me. Acts chapter 2, verse 8, 22, verse 16, Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27, Colossians 2, verses 12 and 13, Titus 3 and verse 5, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. And again, I believe that those who hold this view, including some relatives of mine, are sincere and are not knowingly twisting the words of Jesus. But I can't help but think of such people as Paul thought of his brethren in the flesh, Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. This leads us to the fifth and final view, one that I believe that we are compelled to accept. The view that says he who believes and is baptized will be saved. This view takes the words of Jesus at face value. And when you read it, there's really no explanation necessary. And I tell people I'm not an English scholar by any stretch of the imagination. But I can understand what Jesus says. And I believe that when Jesus said this, he meant what he says. And we've already seen previously that the Bible teaches that one must believe, Acts 8, verses 36 and 37, that one must be baptized to enjoy forgiveness of sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and again in chapter 22 and verse 16. Now, let me ask you this. Excuse me. Which one of these five views of Mark 16:16 do you hold? Do you hold the one that says he who believes and is baptized will not be saved? Do you hold the one that says he who does not believe and is not baptized will be saved? Do you hold the third one, he who does not believe and is baptized will be saved? Do you hold the fourth one, he who believes and is not baptized will be saved? Or do you hold the fifth one, he who believes and is baptized will be saved? You know, it should really be clear that there is only one view that is in harmony with Jesus' words, as there's only one which does not involve tampering or twisting this clear statement of Jesus. But, perhaps more importantly, which one of these five views is your life, views is your life consistent? One may hold intellectually to the fifth view. One who believes and is baptized will be saved, but act as though they believe in the second view. And how is that? Well, they never confess faith in Christ and being baptized. One may intellectually hold the fifth view, but act as though they believe the third view. Now, how is that? For though they may have been baptized, they are not living the life of faith required of one to live in Jesus. One may hold intellectually to the fifth view, but act as though they believe the fourth view. And they do that by believing in Jesus, but they've never submitted to being baptized. Only those who have come to Jesus in faith and have acted in harmony with his teachings can have the assurance of salvation. Folks, the words of the Bible are clear. Peter said in Acts 2 and verse 38, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And Paul states in chapter 22 and verse 16, where Ananias came to him and says, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." I want to thank you for being with me this morning. And again, you may disagree with this lesson completely. I'm willing to sit down and discuss what we've talked about here with anyone. Just bring your Bible and show me scripture where I am wrong. If you'd like to meet with us, we'll meet this morning at 9 a.m. for worship, for Bible study, worship service at 10 a.m., followed by another worship service at 5 p.m. this evening. And then we have a midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. This will also be recorded to the church's website if you'd like to go back and listen to it again. There's other lessons there. There'll be sermons there. There will be bulletin articles there for your reading. Again, thank you for joining me. If you'd like to comment on this lesson, you can look me up on Facebook or you can look me up on the church's Facebook page. That's Church of Christ, the Eastside Church of Christ. And the website is churchateastside.com. Thank you again.